two giant goofballs is shot live in front of a streaming audience.
Welcome to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. Are you a goofball that loves Giants football? If so, sit back and relax.
Except you, that person driving. Sit up and keep your eyes on the road.
Your ears, though, can still listen as we talk about the team that both excites and frustrates us so much. And now, here are your goofball hosts, Drew and Rob.
Welcome, fellow goofballs, to Two Giant Goofballs, New York Giants podcast. I am Drew, joined as always by...
I'm Rob. And boy, do we have some Giants news.
We do. We actually have Giants news. It's so rare we're not just talking about, you know, people in the draft. And don't get me wrong, it's still, you know, it's still nice to have something to talk about. There's still a lot of interesting draft talk to be had here. But it's nice to break it up a little and have a little actual Giants conversations here to have.
Giants conversations.
Yep. So we signed a player since we've last talked to you guys there. Amazing. Amazing backstory. Like, seriously, even if you guys got like 10, 15 minutes and that's it tonight, stay on for this, because I'm telling you, you're going to become, like me, president of the Dante Miller fan club here just by listening to this kid's story. Like, absolutely amazing. We re-signed someone. We have a whole bunch of draft conversation to have here as far as rumors there. One of our old head coaches got a new job. We got a quote from our newest big signing here from this offseason, the $30 million man himself, there, Brian Burns. We have all kinds of stuff. We have bleak neighbors now, too. All kind of rumors floating around about him. One of the biggest guys in the draft here as well, both literally and figuratively, just got arrested for DUI over the weekend as well. So does that take him off the list? Is that somebody we might not want to talk to anymore? You know, we got a lot to go over here, guys. So like I said, it'll be some draft related, but unlike what we usually do this time of year, give you guys just information on the guys coming out of the draft. It's actual Giants news. Giants news. Whew. Feels like it's been a while since we've done one of those. When's the last time we did that?
Yeah, it's been some time.
Here we go. So actual Giants news. Yay! All right, let's get into Dante Miller, guys. Because again, I'll admit freely, I had never heard of this kid before we signed him. I don't try to BS you guys and make it seem like I know every single football player to ever walk this earth. I'm not that guy. And to be honest, there really is no guy that's that guy. They just research before they talk about him. That's what they do. So guess what we did? We researched him. So Dante, first off, for crazy, crazy story about him as far as how he was, you know, over in as a childhood here. So when Dante was just 2 years old, he's living with his mother, who's addicted to drugs, while his brother and his sister were already living with his grandmother. So he's got two siblings that already moved out of the house. He's still there dealing with all of this stuff. And listen, I know 2 years old, he doesn't probably remember a lot of the stuff going on back then and everything like that. If you don't think that stuff affects you mentally and how your makeup is, then you just don't know psychology. That's such an important time in your life. It's not even funny. One day, Dante's mother dropped him off at a neighbor's house and just simply never returned. I mean, sad. That's crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know he's not the only one ever had that happen to him. But yeah, I mean, it's just that's crazy. After that, he bounced around the foster system, including four or five different group homes. His grandmother tried to gain custody of him, but died before she was successful in doing it. That's crazy. Some years later, his mother's cousin, who never had children of her own, decided that she was going to go ahead and try to gain custody of him. And it took 2 years, but eventually she was successful. And that's the woman who we call his mother and mom, and, you know, gives her that kind of respect for finishing the job of raising him and everything. But like I said, it's a crazy, crazy backstory on him. Goes to a very prestigious high school for football, even, that's had multiple players come out of the NFL. And you would think a guy like that, okay, you're going to football, a school that's had multiple NFL players go to, you're a good football player, you're going to focus on football, football, football. No, he busts his ass off in school and he gets into Columbia University. Like, that's not an easy school to get into, guys. Don't get me wrong, it's not Harvard. I'm not trying to say that. But it's like, this is one of the top schools in the entire country. There's not many people who have both the physical and the mental makeup to do what this guy does. It's absolutely insane. As much as he had it rough as a child, he was blessed by God with some special abilities. That's for sure. Went there partially because he had family in New York as well, and he thought it'd be nice to be close to a lot of family and get to know those guys as well. So nice gesture as far as part of why he picked Columbia, I thought, as well. For him to go through what he's been and have family still be that important to him. Again, that says a lot about the makeup of this kid. And I hate saying kid, but it's screwing him old. He's young. I'm going to say it.
You damn hooligan.
I'm old.
He's running in my front yard.
So he starts there in 2008. Doesn't do much his first year, as most college kids don't there. Six games, 61 carries, 317 yards, a 5.2 yards per carry average with one touchdown, five receptions for 22 yards. The next year, 10 games, 52 carries, 150 yards, so just a 2.9 yard per carry average. Not very good. One touchdown, six receptions for 8 yards. 20 is canceled because of COVID. Flat out, they just didn't have an Ivy League season that year at that point, as some just didn't. 21, 10 games, 145 carries, 814 yards, a 5.6 yards per carry average. Four touchdowns, nine receptions, 43 yards. He gets named the team MVP and first team all Ivy League at the running back position. Now, after the 21 season, Miller gained a sociology degree at Columbia. Let me just say that a second time. Gained a sociology degree at Columbia. He didn't get some Bachelor of Arts or something. Like, no offense, he's got a Bachelor of Arts. Like, he went to a legit school, got a legit degree that most people don't finish, and did it. Did it on time while going to, like I said, if you guys don't like, if you guys don't end up rooting for this kid as hard as I do, like, holy shnikey, what the hell is wrong with you? Seriously. Like, again, we sign a lot of players, guys like this, that I go, you know what? They'll probably be fodder for the training camp, and that's it. This is the story here. I'm telling you, like, this kid, I think we'll get into where I think he's going to be in the Giants. I'm excited. I really am. I'm excited by this because this is a guy who works his tail off. If you think this is a guy who can come from this, I'm not saying here, but maybe like here.
Yeah, like, he's not a replacement to a running back that we have lost this offseason.
Yeah.
But like, this guy shows that he could grow and evolve from situations his whole life and come out better than he was prior. Yeah. So you just look at his 2018 season, right? You just brought it up.
Yeah.
5.2 yards per carry. He had a terrible 2019 at, you know, just shy of 3 yards per carry. Doesn't play, and then comes back and plays his best year of football after not playing for a year and going back and shining like bright like a.
And keep in mind, we say 814 yards. That's just 10 games, guys. 81.4 yards per game. It doesn't take much of a genius. You have to go to Columbia to know how to do that math. So, anyway, again, he finishes school, gets a sociology degree, but his eligibility has run out at Columbia. At Ivy League schools, there is no redshirt years. And max is 4 years, including any canceled season. So 2020 counted as a lost season for him of eligibility. So he thought he can get another 2 years by going out of the Ivy League, gain a redshirt year, or getting back the 2020 year and gain a fifth year by going for a master's degree at that point. So he transfers over to South Carolina. Now, South Carolina had a very crowded backfield. We talked about, Marshall Lloyd, who is with USC now, but at the time was in South Carolina. He was their workhorse back. So he didn't expect to get much playing time in the first year. But he hoped to get a chance to excel in his second year. That was his training. You know, that was his mentality in this. After playing very little in six games, officials at South Carolina realized they made a mistake. So real quick before I go into the mistake, this was his season that he had here in 23. I'm sorry, 22. Six rushes, 38 yards. So 6.3 yards per carry average. Very small sample size, but a very good and effective yards per carry. He also had like a 20-yard run in that. Actually, if you go on YouTube, you can see a copy of that. That's only tape I've been able to find of him game tape-wise. I searched. Couldn't find really much at all. So you go into, a year of not doing much in this first six games, and that ended up being his whole career, because the mistake they realized was he only had 1 year of eligibility left, not two. Now, to use the year as a red shirt, you have to appear in less than four or less games in the season. He already been in six games. He had been used so little in those games, though, that South Carolina thought they could apply for a waiver to get it made as a red shirt. So in those two, in the last two of this game, sorry, he literally was on the field for a combined 18.3 seconds, guys. 18.3 seconds, two games. He was presented his options. Miller decided to shut down a season to apply for the waiver in hopes of getting a full season the next one. The process was extremely long and went all the way into 23. Miller even practiced with the team in spring practices. The decision was made after the deadline to enter the draft that the waiver was denied. Ugh. So that counted as his year. The team allowed him to continue working with the program all season to allow him to feel like he's still part of the team, because that they had that kind of respect for him, which, first off, kudos, South Carolina. That's classy.
Yeah.
He finished his master's in sports management and started working on his MBA. Again, you want to talk about a kid motivated. Woo.
Yeah.
Hell, if his mom's cousin did adopt him, I would. Take care of me when I'm older.
Yeah, please.
Like, now almost. Miller took place in the College Gridiron Showcase All-Star Game back in January, but said teams showed no interest in even talking to him while he was there. When looking it up, because I did do a little research on him, like I said, he wasn't even listed on the roster of the game, so it makes me think he was kind of wasn't allowed to play because of the eligibility issues, but still might have participated in some of the events. It's a five-day thing they do there. It's a huge thing. So after that happened, Miller trained for South Carolina's Pro Day because he thought that would be his way of getting scouts and NFL teams interested in him. Now, keep in mind, South Carolina has some decent names in this draft. They have Spencer Rattler, the quarterback, that we'll, I'm sure, get into before the draft starts as well. He's QB number 7, basically, in this draft. But if most drafts, he'd be probably QB 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So they got Xavier Leggett, who's going to be a top wide receiver in this draft as well. So they got some guys. As Connor's just taking shots, I see with the comments there.
Yeah. One shot, two shots, three shots.
Each time we give a compliment to Miller, Connor's taking a shot. So here's his times, and here's his results here from this pro day. His 40 time, 4.27, guys. That would have been tied for the fifth highest in the NFL combine history. Not the fifth highest this year. In the history of the combine.
History.
He benched 225 pounds 28 times this year. The guy who led the running backs at the combine was Blake Corum. I think y'all know who he is by now, at 27. So he would have led all running backs in bench press and 40. He did the same amount of bench press times as Joe Alt, the offensive tackle, was going to be taken in the top 10.
That's impressive.
That's goddamn impressive. Keep taking shots, Connors. Keep giving him compliments. His vertical time, I saw that as well. Wasn't as impressive, but I want to give you guys that. His vertical, 37 and a half inches, which would have tied for the sixth best at the combine this year amongst running backs. And for the record, there was 21 guys who took the vertical at the combine. So it would have been six out of 22. That's pretty good. That's pretty damn good. After all of that, people thought he looked like a late round pick, but they weren't 100% sure if he was even draft eligible, considering his eligibility technically ran out in 22. So technically, he should have been a last year's draft. So Miller's agent checked with the NFL, and it turns out Miller was eligible to be selected in a supplemental draft last year, and he never was taken. So technically, he is a free agent. And not just technically, he is a free agent.
Was a free agent.
Yes. So he ends up going on a visit with the Giants. He said he liked the idea of going back to New York, went to school, and had family. And the Giants showed their interest by offering him a deal during the visit. They didn't even let him leave the building and said, here you go, sign. And now,
damn,
the newest of the New York Giants, Dante Miller. I know it's a long story, guys, but I'm saying that's an amazing story. Like, seriously, this guy has lived half the time on this earth that I have, basically. Not quite. He's probably, I didn't see his age. One of those guys I couldn't find the damn age on. But I got to imagine he's probably about 24 years old, you know, and I'm going to be 42 this year. So almost twice as long as me. And he's got a better story than me, by far. By far, like, he's done more in his 24 years or whatever than I've done in my 42. I feel like a slacker. I really do.
Drew, you better go back to school and get your master's.
I'm not going to Columbia, goddammit. Hold up. I'll go to USF or something. University of Tampa.
You're going to Harvard.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, guys, I don't expect this guy, like you alluded to before, Rob, I don't expect him to go ahead and replace Saquon Barkley. I think that'd be freaking insane to expect him to replace Saquon Barkley. But I look at a guy like this and what he's accomplished, not just, again, not just on the football field, but life in general. I honestly think that if you're going to bet on somebody meeting their ceiling, you're going to bet on this kid.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of ceiling that's going to be, I don't know. We haven't seen him play football on a regular basis since 21. Think about it. We're going to 24 here. It's been 3 years, really, since he stepped on the football field on a regular basis. I mean, I expect him to be a guy who's going to sit on the practice squad this year, kind of have a redshirt year, so to speak, on football, you know, in the NFL, like he lost in college, and then come back next year and see what he's got. Or who knows, maybe he comes back towards the end of the year and gives a good change of pace. But with a guy who's literally the strongest running back if he was in the draft this year. The fastest running back if he was in the draft this year. Yeah, that's a guy we're taking a chance on. Then he throws 100%. The ambition this guy has. Yeah.
And he's probably going to be cheaper than most. So.
I guarantee he's a very cheap deal. But I'll say this. They paid him more than if he was a late round pick. That's the benefit of him being a free agent. Because there was other teams buying for him. I haven't heard numbers on it, but I'll guarantee you what he got paid is more than if he was in the draft. He's not getting the $150,000, $200,000 a year contract or something like that to start off there. So
makes sense.
But he's not going to get paid millions. He's going to get paid probably like you know, $300,000-$400,000 or something like that. You know, nothing crazy. Money you and I would take in a heartbeat, but you know, to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you hear about an NFL contract is nothing. But, you know, again, president of the fan club for Dante Miller now. It's just like amazing story. You know, I wish the best for the kid, regardless if it works out for him in the NFL. That's just an awesome, awesome story overall. To take over, you know, his own life after that kind of start. And like I said, guys, he's already still in school for like, it's like still going. Like, that's insanity. Like I said, he's still working on his MBA.
Kudos to him.
Seriously, kudos. Kudos. All right, next up here, guys. We promise we will not sit here and do a love affair of Dante Miller for the full hour or whatever we're out here for. But we did take a good 20-minute chunk out of it. I knew we would. It's an awesome story. It really is.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe how much people are giving like a two-line thing on this kid.
Like, it's going to be the next Blindside story.
Listen, I'm not – is news slow right now on the Giants front? Of course it is. It's not that time of the year. You get a ton of stuff. But regardless of what time of the year, this is a story that should get told. This is a story that people need to be getting out there, making sure people are aware of, because that's goddamn awesome. Are you talking about a guy that if he makes it in the NFL is going to be an absolute role model to the kids who are Giants fans? This is that guy. This is that guy. Unless he's like, you know, doing drugs in the background. I don't know.
Yeah.
Taking Adderall to pass his classes and all. I don't know. But I'm going to say it's really like I said. It's very not often that I'm overly impressed by someone I've never met in person. This is impressive. This is an impressive life that he started at. So good to him. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I promise we move on. But it's so impressive. No.
Oh my God, let's talk about it again.
let's go to the next one here. So promise we also talk about the Giants re-signing somebody. We've been talking about this guy for a little while there.
We're not gonna talk about him for 20 minutes either, so don't worry, guys.
We are. We're gonna talk about his life story. It all started at the age of 6 months old. No, Isaiah Simmons got re-signed by the New York Giants there, guys. 1 year deal. Last year, obviously, he played in all 17 games and 47 tackles. You know, but it begs the question of two things. One, where does he play next year? What position? He's positionless, basically. Where does he play? The second thing is, why did it take so long to re-sign him here? So let's go to the first half of here. Where do you think he's going to play this season here, Rob?
I think he's going to be a Swiss Army knife. I think he's going to be utilized. And I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts to this Giants defense compared to what it was, I guess, prior, maybe. And, yeah, Isaiah Simmons is one of those guys that can be moved around.
Yeah. No, I agree in the Swiss Army. I think he's going to primarily play safety, to be honest with you. I feel like in a normal NFL defense, which we're going to go to a more standard NFL defense now with, you know, with the new scheming here going on with the new defensive coordinator and all. And, you know, we haven't seen Shane Bowen, obviously, and see what he's going to do yet fully with this Giants defense. So we're all conjecturizing, guessing here. I'm conjecturizing. Is that a word, conjecturizing?
It is now.
We made it up here. It's in the Goofball Dictionary, available at 2 Giant Goofball. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I think that in most defenses, that's where he sits best at. You know, almost like if you want to do the three safety set there and have him play the middle, so to speak, where he can run up on one play. You know, go into pass coverage with DB, do a random blitz position. You know, I think that's where he is. I think he's going to be a backup safety Like safety number three. And he's going to be a guy that you occasionally will put on the edge to rush. But honestly, if you look at his win rates and all last year, they weren't that good when he rushed. People are talking about that all the time. Oh, we should put him at an edge. And he doesn't look good at the edge position. He really doesn't. His best actually is coverage. He's best in coverage. You know, running backs, tight ends, those kind of guys. Obviously, he's too big to be against these faster wide
receivers. But he's not covering like Tyreek Hill or
yeah. Like, yeah, we're not putting him on, you know, either one of the receivers in Philly, that's for sure, or CeeDee Lamb or something like that. But you know, again, a good guy to get because I guarantee he's cheap. And that gets us to the second part, which is why it took so long to re-sign him. I think he was looking at his options. I think, and I haven't heard, again, same as with Miller, I haven't heard any numbers, but I have a feeling the Giants said point blank, we're going to go ahead and give you the minimum deal. Let's see how you work at this new defense. We'll revisit it next year.
And that's and said, hey, don't like it, shop.
Yeah, I think he'll shop that around like crazy. And he probably did. And probably got nothing better offer-wise there. I'll tell you this, guys. I have never seen a player that fans love so much. And I'm not just talking Giants fans. I'm talking NFL football fans in general. Love so much that coaching staffs have completely different opinions on. He's not that good a player, guy. And I don't mean that in like a disrespectful way. I'm saying more in the tempering your expectations of him. He's been in the league long enough now. I think he's been, 4 years now in the league?
I think this is his fifth
year. I want to say
this is his fifth year.
This is going to be his fifth, I believe. He's 25 years old. He got drafted, in 2020. If he was going to be good, he would have been good by now. It's not like you all of a sudden go into your fifth or sixth year. I'm like, oh, I got it now. Like, don't get me wrong. It happens.
It happens. But
it's nothing you want to bet on. If you're betting on that to happen, you're in trouble. So,
I mean, so are we if it happens, because we're probably going to pay him next year.
No, but listen, it'd be great to have him for the year if that point, if that's the case, though. But I'm just saying, I just don't think that, I think people overplay what he is. I don't think he's that great a player, per se. He's a guy who does a lot of things tolerable. I wouldn't even say good, tolerable, but doesn't do anything great. And that's a perfect guy to have in your bench. You can plug him in multiple spots and he won't embarrass himself. But he's not going to excel either. And that's what I think he is. And it's funny, ESPN actually and NFL.com both list him as a safety. I just realized that as I'm looking up to verify how long he's been with the Giants here. Obviously with the NFL 4. So Wikipedia still calls him as a linebacker, and so does some of the articles. But if you go to his actual player profile on ESPN and on NFL.com, he lists him as a safety. One of the Giants said something, maybe. They list him as safety / linebacker. But again, safety first.
Safety always first.
Always first. Always first. All right, let's get into it. We got a bunch of quotes here, a bunch of little minor news article kind of stuff there I wanted to go over there with you guys. That shouldn't take nearly as long as the last couple of things have here, but I want to at least make sure we go over everything with you. We're going to do one of those, and then we're going to go pay the bills real quick and go through some of the comments here. That should be about the halfway point there. Brian Burns gave a nice quote there on Kayvon Thibodeau. He says, I could teach him some things, and we can really bounce ideas off each other. That's how pass rushers come up with a lot of their moves and their plans for the week. I think that will be the main thing is the IQ. And, you know, we haven't heard too much of Brian Burns, I feel like. And, like, he had the introductory press conference when he first, you know, the deal first happened and everything. You know, the Giants put out their Spider-Man thing because he nicknamed Spider, and Spider-Man obviously lived over in, you know, New York and all, like every Marvel character somehow. That's why New York was always fine. The rest of the country was effed up in Marvel. Except San Francisco, they had Shang-Chi.
Touche. Only in the China district.
Oh, Shang-Chi, not touche. That's French. But yeah. Oui, oui. It's nice to see him talking publicly about a collaborative thing, about working with Kayvon and having it be a team thing at that point. Not just I can do this, I can do that. We can do this together. We and can collaborate. I like we and us's when players talk about stuff. There's enough BBB in this league. There really is.
So, well, it's a football team. So yeah, when you play as a team, you win more games than if you play as individuals going for stats.
But again, we talked about it with Brian Burns. We talked about potential free agent fits even for this team before we knew he's going to be a franchise tagged and eventually traded and everything. Brian Burns didn't have necessarily the best reputation for how his career in Carolina ended. There was rumors of him slacking off a little bit. There was rumors of him getting a little bit upset. There was rumors about him necessarily not giving it 100%. And again, that's rumors. I haven't heard anybody who played with him say that. Anybody in the coaching staff say that. That's all rumors. But the numbers certainly don't back up a very good season at that point and make you go, is there any truth to that? So to see a positive comment like that is something I enjoyed seeing. That's all.
Yeah, same. And it's also, yeah, I take that with a grain of salt, because what Carolina Panther last year had a good season.
Are you doing tequila shots? Salt. On the brim.
Tequila.
Oh, dude, you ever see the guy? There was a guy who did, I think it was America's Got Talent. He did that song.
Yeah.
Oh my God, freaking hilarious.
Tequila.
I've always thought that'd be hilarious to do at a karaoke night.
Me too.
Tequila.
Tequila.
It'd be hilarious. All right. Anyway, so digress with my karaoke talk here. Well, let's take a look here. We got some comments here, mostly from Drunk Connor, just being mean. He says, is that a countdown till it starts or till Drew starts yapping nonstop? LOL. Roll on the floor laughing. Hey, at least I got that acronym right. Roll on the floor.
There you go.
What's like the SMH? I still think should be smack my head. Because when someone says stupid, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, but you face palm and you shake.
Yes. I know, but you don't want to shake.
It's that smacking.
See, when you're trying to hide it because you want to make them feel like a moron, you don't shake. You're trying to hide. That's what I'm saying. I think that one's dumb. It is what it is. He also says Saquon's back, April Fools. Yeah, no one's falling for that one. Then you're like a week late on that, Connor.
Yeah.
Guess who's back again? He said, wait, he's my brother. We got separate when we were kids. What? He's black. Oh, not hit. Wait, what? Connor, are you just. How much have you had a drink tonight, Connor? He says,
if I was talking about Miller before.
Yeah. He goes, if I move to Columbia, I can get at any school there. I just have to learn Spanish, dude. First off, Columbia is not like, I guarantee there are colleges that even if you spoke Spanish fluently and we just went snap, and I can't snap my fingers, so Rob, you can just do it for me. Come on. There you go. I really can't snap my fingers. I can't whistle or snap my fingers. Give you all the good news today. So anyway, even if we could do that, or Rob could do it for us, and you can learn Spanish just like that. There's plenty of schools, trust me, that you are not going to get into in Columbia. I'm sure there's medical schools and all kinds of fancy schools there. It's not like we're talking about like some remote island in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It's not Columbia, like South America.
Yeah. It's not Columbia Records that sends you 12 for one penny.
Yes. You just got to pay $25 and, you know, shipping.
I think everybody has one unpaid bill for that company still. All right. Then we got my cousin Terry chimes in. She says, I think will be a great addition that has potential to grow even more with Giants. He seems to be disciplined, hard worker, and determined. Exactly. That's like, this is the kind of kid that if like I had a daughter, I'm like, hey, you should go to Columbia just to meet this guy. Connor says, told you Drew would be nonstop yapping. This is a long story. He just says real quick, let's see if it gets over faster. Don't mind me. I've had 5 beers, Drew. moving on to shots. Listen, I think anybody who knows me know I do not tell any story quickly. I can't help myself. I talk a lot. It is what it is.
Yeah. Real fast.
Podcasting is a perfect thing for us. You know, gives me a reason to talk. And I talk all day at work on top of that. Connor talking about shots. He says maybe he'll help us forget Saquon. Deb says that that's exciting. I wish him much success. Exactly. Like I said, you can't help but root for this kid. You really can't. Then Connor goes more to shots. My cousin posts something that we can't see. Sorry, I can't see pictures when they send pictures over and stuff like that. Let's see here. She says, Deb says, while you say that about expectations, you probably wouldn't have expected him to go to Columbia. I hope he tears it up. Exactly. Listen, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what his ceiling is, but whatever his ceiling is, considering he's got that work ethic, he's going to hit whatever that ceiling is. If he's able to, the only thing that would stop him is injuries. That's my personal opinion. He's got that kind of drive. That's a drive that a lot of people don't have in life and wish they did. So
correct.
Especially as much like, about his time is his bench, his, you know, obviously intelligence, those kind of degrees and racking up degrees. His best asset is that drive.
Yeah. And listen, a lot of people have gone through a similar situation and they haven't got a master's degree in football. They haven't gotten picked up by an NFL team.
You say master's degree in football?
Master's degree in football. No, in college. Did I say in football? Whatever.
You did.
Connor passed the tequila.
I got a minor in pigskin.
Yeah. The laces. But
laces out.
There's a lot of people that something like that happens to, and they just turn to, you know, the bottle or, you know, a pill.
Yeah. And listen, it's not to knock those people either, because it's not easy to deal with that kind of stuff in life. But he rose above everything that he dealt with and did a great. Yeah, you know, man. I think the big thing is too, you got to give kudos to the mother's cousin, who, like I said, he just calls mom point blank because she basically raised him the whole second half of his childhood. But that had not to have been easy for her.
No.
Because there's always some baggage that comes with that start in life. It always is. So kudos to her for stepping up and helping family, because that matters more than anything else, guys. Nothing else matters more than family. That's it. Football don't matter. You know.
Well, listen, that football will matter for that family.
That's what you got in the end. No matter what in life, that's what you got. Touché. Everybody else starts thinking, it's a family affair. I can't do it. My voice is still messed up, guys. Then Connor's asking Deb about shots. Let's see here. We're going to skip through the shots talk here and pill popping. What's going on here, guys? You guys are going crazy.
It's a Monday night.
Connor, no, seriously. What are you guys doing at Monday night? Connor says, I was talking about Spanish country, Colombia, Drew and Roberto. We knew that.
That's why I say South America.
Anyway, let's go out before Connor starts saying more ridiculous things. We're going back to the topics here. All right.
We're going to pay the bills?
Oh, yeah. We got to pay the bills. We didn't pay the bills. Let's pay the bills. And then, we're going to go back to the topics.
Enjoying the show? Looking for more goofball action? Consider a membership at buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs. Memberships start at just $5 and give you additional goofball access. One-time support payments also available starting at just $3. Buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofball.
I should also say, when I say pay the bills, by the way, I stole that. I should give credit to the people I stole it from. There's a show called Sawbones. It talks about medical stuff. There's not a lot of non-sports podcasts I listen to, but that's one of the ones I do. It's a husband and wife combo. The husband is a professional podcaster, does a lot of stuff with his family, and the wife is a doctor. They talk about different things in the medical community. Good show, guys. If you actually like that kind of stuff.
What did I say?
So I should give them a plug, because we kind of stole that from them, because they always say it by pay the bills. So, but they, yeah. So like I said, I should give them a little kudos for that. Anyway, let's get into the comments here. I'm sorry, into the comments. We were to the comments. Let's get into the more of the program here.
Yeah.
Darren Waller's latest comments. I guess it's still comments. He was asked about his decision to come back, if he's got one yet. He said, I still have not decided yet. Then he was asked if he can still play at a high level. He said, physically, I can. I do still feel like I'm there. There have been injuries, but as far as how I feel when I'm healthy and out on the field, I still feel like I have a lot to offer. Interesting, because if it was like the rumor I had heard, and again, I have no, again, I hate saying rumors that I hear when I have nothing to back it up.
Rumor has it.
But the rumor I had heard, the grapevine, was about, you know, him having issue with concussion, CTE, and that kind of stuff over his career. That's why he was thinking about not playing. Just want to mess his head up, basically.
Yeah, which kind of aligns to what he's saying here.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if that's the case, and, you know, like we talked about before, that, you know, if you listen to the guys that talking Giants there, I'll give them a good plug there as well. Another good show. Justin Penix has talked about, you know, that, you know, he knows something that he's not allowed to say, basically, which is fine. Again, I respect the fact that he's not saying. He's got a platform. He can make a big deal and make a lot of name for himself by saying it, probably, where something's seriously going on. I don't know. I don't have any inside knowledge like that. I wish I did, but I'm at the point now where it's like, dude, you come on board or not? Like,
should get off the pot.
Because I need to know before the draft so I know what I'm doing here. Yeah. So I have a feeling that part of it, and I've heard people make this guess as well, I think part of this might be also what he's coming back to. It's easier to come back to a team that, let's say we regardless of who we get, let's say we get a fun young quarterback that everybody's excited about, regardless of who it is. There's plenty of quarterbacks out there. You know, let's say we get a nice fun receiver as well at this point there, and the team's exciting. You want to be part of this. You want to be part of that action. And that might motivate him to come back.
It's a lot easier to say yes, come back to something like that. Oh, my head's a little rattled up. Oh, it's one more season. I might be able to go to the playoffs.
Now you're coming back to Daniel Jones and Darius Slayton as your leading receiver. No offense to Slayton, because everybody knows I like him, but he's not a number one. That's a little bit harder. And it makes you wonder if that's part of what's going on here. But like I said, to me, you have to know before the draft what's going on, because otherwise it makes it harder to do the draft. You know, if you lose Adam Waller, let's say you lose, let's say Waller retires hypothetically, and the first round, let's say hypothetically, regardless if we move up, down, whatever the hell we do, we get a quarterback. Now in the second round, you know, let's say we go, okay, well, there's really no great receiver that we like a lot, but there's Jatavion Sanders from Texas available. Do we take a tight end here? If you don't know about Waller, it makes that decision much harder. If you know Waller's staying, you're not going to take him. You're going to take a shot at maybe a receiver, or, you know, in the third round instead or something like that. Or maybe you take a shot at a guy that you're not as positive on, but you go, I've already set a tight end. I don't need to get this guy. You know, or maybe just go to Jadavion Sanders is basically a big, tall receiver anyway, just like Waller. They can learn from him for a year. But it's part of your equation of trying to figure out what you want to do, you know? Like I said, someone's got to sit down to him, unless there's something, like I said, seriously going on in the background that we're unaware of like that. If that's true, then I don't want to be a jerk about it. But if it's not, they need to know. They need to say, basically, time to make a decision. Rumor mill here. Giants are said to be heavily interested in running back Trey Benson. So for those who forget our, you know, little talk about him there, basically really, really fast running back out of FSU. That's the Cliff Note version. If you want to see the whole thing, go on our YouTube page. You'll see the player profiles that we're doing for all the players as we're breaking down all of our episodes. We're talking about players and into mini, like, 5-minute clips for all the individual players there. The thing is, like, by the way, I got to tell you guys, we have so many profiles up, it's not even funny. Like, I can't even believe how many are going up. I didn't realize how much work we've done. Yeah. Damn, I'm just tired of looking at how many profiles we got up there. But yeah, we have a lot up there. We have 5 loading per day, guys. Dozens. So we either, yeah, we're posting 5 a day until we finally run out, you know, which will probably be right before the draft starts at that point there. So, but yeah, I mean, we've been doing this now for what, a week? About there,
something like that.
When this is over and done, we'll probably have 130 different probably profiles at least up. So check it out if you guys are interested in that kind of stuff there as well. But anyway, Trey Benson, like I said, really, really fast is what it, basically his specialty there. He's just that downhill runner. It's going to be really, really speedy. Interesting that we're interested in him because, again, we got Singletary, who's known as a kind of all around back. He's not necessarily your speedy guy. Trey Benson would fit that role. He'd be different than Singletary at that point. You know, just goes back to that whole thing we've been talking about. I do think, and I've said it forever, I do think the Giants will go ahead and draft a running back in this draft. And they'll probably use a mid-round pick, anywhere from 3 to 5, as far as the rounds, to go ahead and get somebody who they can, you know, hope will take over the role as lead back. But worst case, be a 1-2 combo with Devin Singletary. Because Gary Brightwell has never shown you he can do that. I actually like Gary Brightwell more than most people do. I think he's shown a small amount of time we've seen him play.
Yeah, he's shown hopes and glimpses.
We haven't seen him play much, but he's still good. Yeah. We're not going to talk about our draft pick from last year, which is just a waste of space. So, I mean, you know, you're going to have to get somebody. So, you know, if that's who they like, then go for it. Former Giants head coach Joe Judge gets a new job. Someone keeps just paying that man money for some reason. I don't know why. Hired as an assistant at Old Miss under Lane Kiffin. Keep in mind, he is an Old Miss alum, so that's going back home for him. So good for you going back to Mississippi. Oh, yes. Mississippi, the state best known for messing up people's spelling scores. yeah. Let's see here. We got Malik Nabers we got to talk about here. There's a bunch of stuff Malik Nabers now. Oh, my gosh. So Malik Nabers, the rumor mill has started with him big time as far as potential issues, as far as his overall attitude, you know, how he acts overall. This is via Tony Pauline. He says, the LSU junior is known as a high-maintenance prospect who may struggle in a big city. There are off-the-field questions Neighbor has had to answer to during the draft process, and teams must feel comfortable with those answers if they're going to invest early draft pick and millions of dollars in his services. Listen, in my time as a Giants fan, I will say the greatest wide receiver that I have seen play, and this is not for his career, but the greatest talent-wise, was OBJ. Amani Toomer had the better Giants career. OBJ, though, is the was the most talented wide receiver that we've had. You're shaking. You're giving your head like out of your thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like through and through. I always thought like Plexico was really talented, but we didn't draft him.
No, Plexico was a great player in his own right, but he's nowhere near OBJ. Nowhere near OBJ.
Well, he blew his load too fast.
That's a whole separate issue. It's by the paternity test for there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
probably. You know, I look at him and I go, the greatest tight end that we've seen in our generation. Again, no offense to Bavaro, but I'm 42. I was in like diapers when he started playing. I was in like preschool and, you know, first grade when he was in his heyday, you know. So you got Jeremy Shockey probably is the best tight end that we got to actually watch on a regular basis. You know, not just sit around and play Legos while our dad watched football. So we have, and what's the thing with those two guys? Very short careers in New York because they couldn't deal with the New York spotlight as part of it. And I know I'm going to get a lot of slack for saying that, but OBJ, I know it. I don't care. I'm saying it.
Well, how are you going to get slack? It was obvious.
Because people love OBJ. They think he like walks on water, and the Giants did so wrong by him. I'm sorry. His antics were an issue, and his antics wouldn't have been as big deal if he wasn't playing in New York. You don't have the antics problems as much in Cleveland or L.A. or Baltimore.
Vegas.
You know, partially because he grew up. He's gotten older. I think OBJ is also wised up that you can't be a malcontent when you start losing talent. I think he has learned that. So kudos to him because a lot of people haven't. Looking at you, Tio. but I'm just saying, like, you can't act that way in New York because it becomes a bigger issue. You know, if Malik Nabers is going to be that guy that's going to be draw the attention in a negative way towards him, and I don't want him anymore.
Yeah, because then spotlight's going to be on him. Or who knows if he can handle it. And he's going to be talking about like what he's saying in this draft. Like,
listen, you do something stupid at a bar in Seattle, Washington. I'm just using it as an example. I don't think Seattle would draft. I'm just saying hypothetically. Seattle, Washington, which is the first city that came to mind. But I can change to Arizona if you want, or whoever. You know, Glendale, Arizona Police Department, you know, comes and arrests you for causing a scene at a bar. And I'm not saying he's caused, be very clear, I'm not saying he's caused scenes at bars. I don't know what issues have come up. But if this is becoming public, one of two scenarios is happening. Either he's had actual issues that people have found out about, or someone's trying to put bad press out there because they want him to drop. One of the two. Either one of the plausible. But if anybody has information on him like that, and he has those kind of issues, you know, you look at going, you know, you have this issue in Glendale, Arizona, or Seattle, or wherever at that point, maybe two or three people show up in the press. You have that kind of issue in New York, you'd have a whole entire press conference full of people there the next morning.
Yeah.
It's a different experience. It's a different.
Well, you can go out to, like, say, Glendale, and it'll be like going watching Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Be karate kicking everyone.
Roadhouse was a good movie, okay? Both versions. The new version was really good. I liked it. It wasn't as good as the original, but it was still good.
Nothing like Patrick Swayze doing Tai Chi in the middle of the
and park. Sam Elliott with that big mustache of his.
Yeah.
With that classic cowboy sound. I'm sorry. I don't care what that man, when he dies, they need to like get the permission to use his voice to narrate every single Western movie ever made for the rest of the time. He has that quintessential one.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I know I'm not. I know I'm not. He's some people look out with that kind of stuff. Anyway, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is manufactured BS trying to make him drop because somebody who's sitting at number 10 or 9 wants him at that point, and they figure if he gets some bad press, he'll be the third one selected, maybe he'll be available to them later on. That's possible as well. How much bad press was there about Kayvon? Don't tell me that wasn't planted by the Giants.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Oh, tell me that wasn't planted by the Giants. I'll say it myself as a Giant fan with that.
It wasn't planted by the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants are like, yeah, he didn't interview well at all. Told all the presses everything. Oh, the Giants don't want nothing to do with him. Then when they do, promptly took him at number 5. So, again, I don't know if it's true or not. I just think that if the Giants take him and it's true, we're in for a circus, guys. We're in for a circus. And if it's not true, then whatever. You got to trust your gut and trust your people. That's what it boils down to. You have to know that you have the right people looking into him to know if there's actual issues or not.
So how many people showed up to his birthday
party? Exactly. How many people showed up to Gaudi's birthday party? Come on, Kevin Costner. Let's get into a comment he made on the Giants, though. And this is, I hear these and it scares me. And it makes me think it's true. I haven't heard much. Let me put it this way. When I look at players and I look at what they do on tape, I try to listen to some interviews and stuff like that to kind of get an idea for them mentally and see where they're at. He hadn't thrown any flags for me yet. This comment throws a flag for me. He said, his comments on possibly being drafted and joining the Giants. He said, that's a decision that's going to be placed when my name is called. I don't know where I'm going. Going to New York, it wouldn't be a bad idea. The QB situation, I know they're going to figure it out, especially if they have a caliber receiver coming like me. I want to pause to say things. But I'm going to finish first. They're going to want to get me the ball. So I'm sure they're going to want to have a quarterback that can do that. Talk about a slap in the goddamn face to every quarterback on that roster currently. Guys, we have no guarantee that we're going to get another quarterback in this draft that can take the job away from Drew Lock or even Daniel Jones. We do not have a single guarantee of that.
Nope.
For this guy to sit there and say, they're going to figure it out because they're going to want to get me the ball. But they don't have someone now, but they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. So you get drafted over here. We don't have a replacement. We don't get Penix Jr. We don't get, you know, X, Y, B, Z.
Yeah, we don't get Bo Nix. We don't get Spencer Rattler or whoever, or Spencer Rattler's not a good, you know, I don't know. I'm just like, what the hell? Why the hell would you say that? Like, I don't understand that mentality. I really just don't. Like,
I mean, he's also young. He's just, yeah.
But
he's cocky.
You have people coaching you what to say and not say. That's in the don't say category. Guys, that's way the hell in the don't say category.
Depends on he may have the wrong coach to prep for my speeches.
Or he's not coachable in that regard.
Could be.
There's some people that, listen, let me put it this way. We've all worked with people that when the big boss comes around, that doesn't come around very often. You maybe see him once or twice a year, depending on your job at that point, whether he's the owner or a regional manager or, you know, a guy that, again, that's higher up in the company you work for, you don't see very often. Maybe he works at the home office and you work at one of the satellite locations, whatever the hell the scenario may be. You have certain people at your office that you probably don't want that person talking to, because they're going to say and do stupid shit. Malik Nabers is firmly in that category now for me. And if you're going to be dumb enough to say that kind of stuff when you're on your best behavior, because let's be very frank, you are on your best behavior when you're trying to get drafted, because every single draft position is $1 million loss for you. $1 million is a lot of money, guys. I can look up the numbers, but I'm sure I'm probably not far off on that over the course of his first contract. Now, I'm not saying per year. It's $1 million. You're on your best behavior, and that's the stupid shit you say? Are you freaking kidding
me? Especially on Oka's injury.
Are you freaking kidding me? So, yeah, Malik Nabers, quite possibly the most, the most talented wide receiver with the highest ceiling in this draft. And that comment alone is enough for me to put him off my board, honestly. Because unless, like, we pick number six and, like, they take Roma Dunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. already, we got to look at that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the only way I'd look at him, because he's that special a talent. But if I have a talent,
the rumors going to come out saying that he's a high case, or, you know, that he's troubled, if you will, you know, hard to deal with.
He needs to grab some coffee with Dante Miller.
Yeah. It's either going to be good for both of them or bad for both of them.
Oh, my gosh. All of a sudden, Dante Miller's doing lines of coke, Malik Nabers.
At a Starbucks.
People are going to think he's doing coke now. I don't know anything about what he's done. I don't know what he's done. I'm just making stuff up to go along as examples, okay? I don't know what he's done. For all I know, it's something stupid and petty. But that comment alone.
He got drunk and high at a Starbucks.
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? I'm just saying, that comment alone tells me you can't handle the press in New York. That's what it tells me. And like I said, he's pretty much off my board in that case. And not fully off the board, because, again, he's an extreme talent. But he comes down at number three now with the top three receivers on my board. I should say that.
We would probably get that would probably be our receiver if that's the case.
But who knows where he goes? He's so talented. I'm telling you right now, Arizona could possibly take him at four, and I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
That'd be an Arizona move. to go with the more explosive as opposed to the surefire of Marvin Harrison Jr. And the Chargers may very well take a tackle still. So we may get Marvin Harrison Jr. at that point. Who knows? At this point, I would take him over Malik Nabers in a heartbeat. He would never say something that stupid. Mm. Basically, went up to the podium. I don't know. I think the Giants would be a good place, but they need a quarterback because they don't want to give me the ball. And they don't got anybody that can do it now. That's basically what he did. That's basically what he
pretty
said.
Pretty much.
That's dick. That's a dick move. That's like when you have that group of friends and you go to the bar and the one guy gets drunk and says stupid shit all the time. And you're like, oh, my God, that's that guy.
He's
that
starts hitting on everyone there.
Well, that's every group of friends is that. That's okay. As long as he took no Kylie, it's okay. But no, like he says something really like embarrassing that he would never say sober, you know, that kind of guy. All right, we got a couple more little bits of news here. Paris Campbell, we thought we'd never talk about him again on the show, but nope, here he is. Paris Campbell had a quote that joining Philly. He said, being able to go in and really carve out a role for myself, getting a fair shake and just kind of going from there. I'll take my chances any day of the week. I'm confident in the player that I am. And he told that to the NFL Network. Let me get into the real key part of this whole thing. Carve out a role for myself, getting a fair shake and just kind of going from there. What fair shake do we not give you, Paris Campbell?
I guess when he drops the balls, it's not fair.
Yeah. Like, do you think the Giants went to practice going, this Paris Campbell is good in practice, but we're not going to put him out?
Yeah. There. Well, they just hyped him up when we got him. Talking about he's like the greatest thing free agents move that we made.
Like what's like, oh, yeah, it's looking spectacular in practice. Let's keep him on the bench. Let's keep him on the bench. We don't want to play him. We have to pay him next year. Like, the hell? Just. I found that really annoying to hear him say that. It's like, listen, guys, it just didn't work out in New York for whatever reason. I'm here to move on. Let's start fresh and new, and I'm just excited to be an Eagle. Like that'd be the way to say it.
Yeah, Drew, I think you missed your career. Maybe you should be, you know, media coach for a lot of these players.
Malik Nabers, if you can just give me a call real quick. I'd be happy to be in your ear during all these interviews so you can stop losing money with your stupid comments.
get you mic'd up.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I just hate that kind of stuff. Like, take some personal ownership of that. And I'm not sitting here to say, you got to say, I sucked last year. You just say, hey, things didn't work out last year for whatever reason. Appreciate the Giants, the opportunity they gave me, and I'm excited to start my next chapter as an Eagle. That's all you got to say.
Pretty much.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing anybody can take offense to with that. I'm going to take offense even as a Giant fan with that. Don't even give me the BS of getting a fair shake. Stop. You should be happy you didn't get injured. It's like the first time in your career you didn't get injured.
Well, I mean, it's hard to get injured when you're not playing because you suck. Saying,
like, now, our wide receiver core was better last year than it was the prior year. I think that's safe to say. But it wasn't exactly a great wide receiver core, and you couldn't get in the damn field. Just admit, you had a bad year. It happens. We all make mistakes in life.
We all had a bad season last year.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I hate that lack of just personal accountability for what, you know, you're part of that. You know, if you want to sit there and say, Giants didn't put me in the best position to succeed, but I also made mistakes in my own part, whatever. You want to put some of it on them, sure, but you better take some of the goddamn onus, because I don't care what the hell the Giants did with you at this point. You were on a team with a really crappy wide receiver core, and you couldn't see the field. You did something wrong. I'm not saying it was all on you, but you made mistakes along the way, Paris Campbell. Own up to it. Move on. Be a man.
You're like the Boston guy. Be a man.
It just pisses me off, that shit. It really does. Have some accountability. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, just own up to it. Yo, dude, I didn't play well.
Comments, half his comments are mistakes. I'm just saying, like,
cheers.
Have that accountability and move on. You're not there anymore. It's done. I know I'm kind of harping on it now, too, after he's done. But it is what it is. He brought up, not me. He started the shit. So start no shit, won't be no shit. Just saying. All right. Let's move on. T'Vondre Sweat is definitely a mistake overall. So a lot of people have talked about him as somebody the Giants might look to in day two, you know, in the second or third round there to be a defensive tackle for us because – obviously, we lost Robinson. We lost Leonard Williams during the season there. We could probably use a good defensive tackle here in this draft if one becomes available in the right spot. Again, they never reach. Well, he got into an accident, Sweat did, in Austin, Texas at 4:41 a.m. What did Herm Edwards say? Nothing good happens after midnight, folks. Here's another one. And I'm going to put him in the same category as Malik Nabers there. Now, don't get me wrong. Malik Nabers is something stupid. He didn't put someone's life at risk. There's a completely different level to stupidity in this whole thing. I want to make that very clear. I'm not saying Malik Nabers goes to the same level of somebody who DUI'd and could have killed someone, because that's what I take very, very strictly. But when it boils down to it, you're supposed to be on your best behavior, Sweat. Your best behavior is going to Austin, Texas, which if anybody's ever been to Austin, Texas, knows what Austin, Texas is. It is a drinking town. If you go to Austin, Texas late at night, you are going up and down the streets, going bar to bar, again, drunk. You made that decision to go there. You made that decision to stay out all night. That's why you're 4:41 in the morning is when you were driving. You made the decision to drive. When you could have kept your car there, got an Uber, done something safe, something smart. This tells me a lot about a person. I'm sorry. We all make mistakes. I'm not trying to be that guy that says you make a mistake. You're crucified for the rest of your life. Sometimes people learn from their mistakes. They grow as a person. But I'm looking at who you are right now, because that's who I'm drafting. I'm drafting who you are now will be the next couple of years. That's a stupid move. You're lucky no one died, and you're out of 4:41 in the morning when you should be preparing for this draft.
Yeah, you should be getting up in an hour or two to go.
It's the most important time of your life right now, and this is what you're doing. Again, you were talking about somebody coming off the board. Oh, I was saying about a Nabers and kind of backtracked and said now he's going to be number three for me as far as receivers. That's fair. I backtracked pretty quick. I kind of realized what I said was kind of overboard. This guy, no, he's off my board. You make that the kind of decision, you're off my board.
Now, a lot of people don't realize, too, that the NFL offers free rides for players that go out.
So I don't think they do that when you're not drafted yet.
I don't think they do for not drafted, but
don't tell me what
could have called. He definitely has money for an Uber.
He's got connections. And again, I don't know what kind of money he made. I can look at it. This is the NIL days, guys. He made some money in college.
Yeah.
I don't know how much. I don't know how much he has, though. I'm just saying that he had plenty of options and didn't take them. So, all right. We got one more bit of story from somebody who's not a moron. Adam Schefter, who we all know who Adam Schefter is, I'm sure. The guy is all over sports. The guy that you want to talk about, a guy who has more insiders than anybody else in the NFL, is probably Adam Schefter. He was on the Talking Ball Believe podcast with Pat Leonard, the most hated Giants reporter ever, from the New York Daily News. And this was his quote, what he said exactly as far as the Giants in the draft. I want to share with you guys here because listen, Adam Schefter, again, he has a lot of inside knowledge. He says, I don't think the Giants will go quarterback at 6. I do think they will be a quarterback selected with a high pick, whether it's round 2 or 3, where they move back up if a guy like Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. is available. If I were making a friendly wager, I think they go wide receiver or offensive line at 6, but quarterback is still on the radar, and they look to address it, that position relatively high. So based on what Adam Schefter is saying, that means no trade in the beginning. Take 6, which will probably be a wide receiver. I don't think an offensive lineman is going to be in the cards for us this draft. I really don't. Could be wrong. I mean, you never know with Joe Shane. He's a little bit wild card on the draft day. But I think the wide receiver, and like I said, we've talked about all along, they either look to see how the pot stirring, see if they can get somebody that they like in round 2. Again, you got to think Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. if they're that guy. And if they think those guys won't be available, they'll probably try to move up. So we'll see what happens there. So, all righty, guys. Whew. A lot of new Giants information here for you guys. A lot of new Giants information. And we are definitely glad to give it to you. Let's go through a couple comments here with somebody who reminded me, by the way, that we're given so much positivity towards Dante Miller. We didn't even mention what his nickname was. And I like his nickname. It's nice. Reminds me of a cartoon snail. So let's see here. Okay, here we go. Kyle Connor says first, who is that annoying voice? Is that you, Drew? I don't know. It's an AI voice thing I got. Connor says, cut Waller. He doesn't have head in the game. We need to move on from him. Here's the thing. If you can get his head in the game, he's still a great talent. And he's worth the money we're paying him. So, well, I say, he's worth the money we're paying him if we cut him. You know, the cap hit was $6.7 million is not worth. We're not going to replace him for that kind of money. So, unless we get a rookie. Not a great draft for tight ends. We went over that already. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens. Well, again, we have a lot of unknowns in that whole scenario. So, Connor says, That's why I say go young for these positions. Too much diva in Waller now. Again, I'm not sure if it's diva. It depends on what it is. That's one of the possibilities. But what stops me from going full on, it's a diva mode thing. It's about him not getting excited because the Giants suck. Is, like I said, the fact that I know Justin Penix has said that on Talking Giants without saying it, that he's heard something. And he kind of backs off and does go crazy because of that when I've heard him talk about Waller. So he knows something, and it seems to be a valid concern. So if that's the case, I'll give Waller the benefit of the doubt for now, but I'm sure the story will come out before the season's up. We'll have, probably have a whole talk about it then. He says, probably. If we cut him after June 1st, what do we save? If we cut Waller,
it's like 6 point high-ish something.
6.7 is what we, if we cut him now, yeah, that's what we get. I'd have to look at the post. Let's see here. Post June 1st, we save 11.625. That's what we save. But we're still going to be paying him some next year as well. So pro and a con to cutting June 1st. So we'll have to see. Christopher Tony, what's up, Chris?
What's up, bud?
I want Penix Jr. or May. Get a wide receiver later or grab Neighbors or a Dunsay, then trade back up for Penix. I think we all know where I'm at on that one. Honestly, May scares me. Merrill Hodge, remember when he used to be on ESPN for a while? He said May is the kind of quarterback that gets the head coach fired. That's exactly what he said. I kind of lean to that side as well. I really do. He's going to be that high. He's going to be high risk, high reward potential. But you know, again, you got the high risk. He's going to have low ceiling, high ceiling, low floor. He will not be one of those middle guys. I don't think, personally, in my own opinion, he's going to fall flat in his face, or he's going to get it build up and become really good. And I'm not so confident on the build up and be very good part of him. I'm just not. Dem says, see you Wednesday. Got to go check out UConn men in the championship game. Appreciate it, Dem, for coming on as always. Chris says, I would love Trey Benson, but I think he's out since we signed Little Turbo. Your opinion? Little Turbo, by the way, that is the nickname for Dante Miller. That's why I said the cartoon.
It's Turbo time.
The Turbo. Are you going Power Rangers on us?
No, that was Jingle All the Way.
Oh, God. Turbo Man.
Yeah. It's Turbo time.
Classic Arnold Schwarzenegger film. anyway, Chris, it depends on what they think each of them fit in and what their plan is. Like I said, I think they want to go running back by committee. I really think that's their MO they want to do. Again, they need to see what Turbo's got, where he's at, where he's ready to go. I think he's going to sit for a year, personally. And if that's the case, Trey Benson, if you go, okay, Trey Benson with Little Turbo, it's a good combo, then why not go for it? You know, again, it depends on where they want to go. He says, I like Allen or, sorry, man, I don't know who you're talking about there. And also, which Allen? There's a lot of Allens.
Yeah.
I can't tell the second half what you meant, but there's a lot of Allens. So let us know, man. Let's see.
Josh Allens.
Red Jello says to go Browns. He says, y'all don't have Saquon anymore. Without a good QB, the Giants will struggle again. I'm trying to remember, how many Super Bowls do the Browns have again? I think it's a round number, less than one.
Yeah.
Listen, we are not going to get that far down in the NFL world that the Browns fans talk trash to us. No, I'm sorry. Your
best quarterback, yes, last year, you picked up off the couch.
Seriously.
In week 9, when it was 10.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson, enough said there. Just saying. That's your guy? Yeah. Connor says, I worry about Neighbors. OBJ will make him screw us over. and he says, bye, Deb. Chris says, let's just get some playmakers. Yeah, we need that. Joe Two Times says, you forgot he was in the team last year. He did absolutely nothing. That's what I'm saying. 100%.
That's part of the point.
That's what I'm saying. He did absolutely nothing. He did nothing. And like I said, I feel like the way he's saying it is like you're blaming the Giants on that. It's not the Giants' fault you sucked last year. They may not have helped you fully. I'm not behind the scenes to know that stuff, but there's no reason, even being in the wrong place, the wrong setup, and the wrong offense for you, that you couldn't have succeeded better than the other guys who we had. Chris says, that was Dable's fault for not playing Hyatt more. Yeah, Hyatt should have been playing more. Joe Two Times says, what position should the Giants prioritize to draft? Again, I'll always say it this way. You take the best player available. Now, if the best player happens to be five times in a row running back or quarterback or a receiver, obviously you don't overload in one position, but for the most part, you just take the best player available. Let the chips lie where they will and hope for the best. But yeah. If you want to talk about needs, obviously quarterback is a need. Obviously wide receiver, but a wide receiver one. That's the really big need. We don't need another mediocre receiver. We have enough of those.
A lot of those. I think you're probably going to see wide receiver.
Yeah.
Pick six.
Quarter. Running back, defensive line, potentially safety, depending on what they think of, you know, the guys that are on the roster currently. You know, there's a lot of holes. There's a lot of holes, guys. There's a lot. Be honest. There's enough holes that you'd have to like basically count on every single player we draft to be a legit starter to fill them all, and that's not realistic. Not realistic.
Not at all.
And let's see, Chris Tony says basically the same exact list of people we just said as well. So yeah, again, quarterback's number one because if you don't have a quarterback, you're not anything. You know, you can get a cheap running back on the streets if you had to. You can get a cheap safety off the streets if you had to, and a wide receiver. It only matters if they're going to be legit number one or number one potential, I should say. You never know what they're going to be when you draft them, but number one potential. If you're not drafting one of the big three, then who cares?
Yeah, I think it's going to be – you're probably going to see wide receiver, quarterback, running back, center slash cornerback in the draft order.
I mean –
you're probably going to go get your top three receiver right there, right away in the draft.
Yeah.
Which is going to be change the play. Tremendously, they're going to do some funny business. They're probably going to go pick up a quarterback, Felipe Penix Jr., come back around. We just talked about picking up a running back in the third round.
You know, I look at a lot of what they've talked about lately, the last couple of years. I think it's safe to say that John Mara believes the Giants didn't do right by Daniel Jones, didn't set him up with success. And I look at what the Giants did in the free agency. They didn't bring any receivers in. They didn't bring any defensive linemen in that you really heard about. They brought in a lot of offensive linemen. They brought in corners. Didn't sign anybody, but they brought in corners. They brought in some veteran corners. It tells me, based on that, again, I love to look at the tea leaves at that point. The positions they didn't bring in is what they plan on filling through the draft. So they're going to try to get a number one wide receiver in the draft. They're going to try to get a quarterback after that, number two, probably. Regardless if they trade up or whatever for him, that's what their goal is going to be. I do think they'll draft a running back at some point. And it's going to be probably they'll probably get a defensive lineman at some point. And they'll probably sign a veteran defensive lineman and a veteran corner. And maybe a veteran safety. And then fill out the roster that way. That's what I think personally. But again, you have to have the right players pop up at the right time. And that's part of the problem you're into. But that's also why, as much as I've talked some trash about Joe Shane in the past as far as how he drafts, because I got some questions still going into these third draft, I still have some questions with some of the moves he's made. I do think he's good at moving up and down when he has to. I mean, he traded back twice before he took Wandell Robinson. He had a target. Yeah. He knew where he needed to be to get the target, and he got there while getting some extra picks. You know, he knew he wanted to get, Aziz Ojulari a couple years ago. He knew he could move back a little bit and probably still get him because of the medical things. He did that, and he still got him. He's not willing to move back. And I think that's what you're going to see. I think you'll probably see him having targets, but you'll see him moving back a little bit, trying to get some extra picks because he knows how many holes we have. They'll probably be, if I had to guess, he'll probably trade 2-3 times this draft.
Yeah.
And I think twice he'll probably back up and get extra picks. And I think once he might move up, try to get that quarterback. That's what I'm saying, 2 or 3. It depends if he gets that chance to move up. So, all right. Joe Two Times says we might be in for a surprise draft day. I don't think these teams are as high as some of these QBs the media is making it seem. You never know. And I look at, what was it, 2021, 22, when Kenny Pickett was the only one drafted in the first round?
Yeah, 22.
You had Giants fans talking about we should have drafted Malik Willis in the first round, that draft. There was Giants fans legit saying that. Remember that? Because I thought they were crazy, and I still think they're crazy. Yeah. There was guys talking about, Sam Howell, where would he go? Some of these players, it's just like you never know what someone truly thinks of a player until draft day because they're not going to tell you. You're guessing. And you can guess and say that a lot of teams, including the Giants, are impressed with a lot of the quarterbacks, but we have no goddamn clue. We got no clue. And half of what gets leaked to the media is false. So we'll have to see. Let's see. He says it's either trade up QB, stay at 6 and take wide receiver 1, trade down to acquire assets. I think if they're smart, what they'll do at 6 is they'll listen to all trade offers. If they think that they got an amazing, I can't get out of this trade, I have to make this trade offer, take it. If not, you stay at 6, you take the wide receiver 1, assuming it's one you like, and then you go ahead and try to move back up and get that quarterback then. we talked about it. It's not impossible. We have to give up a lot to do it, but
yeah,
especially with the trade back later on and get some extra picks, you can do it without killing your draft. You can do it. Take some hit this year, take some hit next year, and move on. Let's see. Connor says, good at moving up and down. That's what she said, LOL. Yeah, she did say that, actually. Anyway.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. All right, that's our show here for you guys tonight. Wednesday, we're back there to talk about linebackers there. Obviously, we're planning on doing that today originally until they had all these moves, all this Giants news coming out there. So Wednesday, we should be prepared for that, assuming that they don't make any more crazy moves between now and then. Who knows? Maybe the Giants trade up in the draft or trade back in the draft. We have an episode about that. But that's the plan right now, guys. Wednesday, we're back with the linebackers. So to clarify, we're talking off-ball linebackers. We're talking middle linebackers. We're talking Mike linebackers. That's what we're talking. We're not talking outside linebackers. We're a 3-4 guy still. I'm not talking about players the Giants can't use. So it makes no sense to talk about, you know, the weak outside linebacker from Miami Hurricanes, who's going to play weak outside linebacker, and we don't have that position because we play a 3-4. So we're going to talk about the guys that are a possibility for us to draft. Because listen, McFadden had a great year, but if you look at the numbers will tell you some of those numbers are a little bloated. Besides that, you got Davis coming off the injury. You got, Cutter Coffin got brought back. Cam did not get brought back yet. So if he is brought back at all, we didn't expect that. We also didn't expect Cutter Coffin coming back. So we're going to have some change at the linebacker position. It wouldn't shock me at all if we'd make a draft pick at that position. I think it'll probably be much later, but I could be wrong. So we're going to go over those guys with you guys. And then Thursday will be the start of our quarterback talk there, which we may do one or two episodes on, depending on how many corners we end up wanting to go over there with you guys, because that's an important position. That's one that I think the Giants will be disappointed if they leave without a quarter. Mm. So appreciate you guys listening. And as always, we are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter/X, Twitch, Instagram, and of course, Rob's favorite. Oh, yes.
Drew's LinkedIn profile.
And as always, guys, we are available on all the audio podcast platforms the next day, 5 o'clock in the morning, usually when it hits there. So we're available on Amazon, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and of course Apple, which is where we get like 2/3 of our hits come off Apple. So again, guys, if you're anything but Apple, not that we don't appreciate our Apple people, but if you're anything but Apple, do me a favor, give us a like, give us a follow, give us a 5-star there, because I want to help
thumbs get up
going here too. But again, either way, we appreciate you guys for listening in and all. I can tell you, we don't talk much about numbers necessarily on this show here very often as far as where we're at, because let's be frank, you guys are here for the content. You don't really care how we're doing necessarily, I feel like. I don't care. Every so often, I give you guys an update. We literally had our biggest month in audio downloads last month ever. Keep in mind, this is out of season. We're down to 3 episodes, not 4 like we do during the season. So much appreciated, guys, on that. And we're also in the midst of a very, very good month in YouTube and everything with the draft breakdowns and all as well. So, again, much appreciate you guys that are listening and watching and, you know, or doing both. Who knows? If you haven't already, give us a like, give us a share, tell a friend. We appreciate it. And as always, Giant fans,
tell a friend.
Go G-Man.
Thanks for listening to Two Giant Goofballs,
a New York Giants podcast.
We appreciate your support. If you made it this long, you must have enjoyed it. So I am sure you have followed us on all the social media platforms. Of course, you have subscribed to the show on your favorite app as well and given us a top rating. Right? Right? Right?